Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Welcome into another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He's Rob Hummel. He's home. I'm still in Bloomington. We're going on 6 days. Three different hotels, Rob. Three different hotels, 6 days. I may never leave.
You can rate them all. You can let us know where the best place to stay in the city is.
I'm at the Graduate now. I think the Graduate's the best spot. Good spot.
You can't get rewards, though, at the Graduate.
Very true. Very true.
That is the
courtyard here. The courtyard here had a bad experience. So Marriott points for the courtyard, not going to happen in Bloomington.
Not worth it, huh?
Listen, we first got to talk about the statue, the Robbie Hummel statue.
You're such an idiot, dude. And so is Doster. The two biggest morons running around West Lafayette with their phones. And apparently it looks like an editor, too.
Yes.
Trevor, I was impressed that you got Coach Paint to do that. That was impressive.
How great was he?
And Chris Kramer. No, he was good. He was
Painter
good.
Was elite level. The way he responded in his facial expression when I asked him if he would reach in his wallet to help pay for the statue.
Well, he's become an experience with this. He did the Caleb First Elf stuff this year. I mean, he's proving himself to be very capable in front of the camera.
Would he have ever done this, Rob? Rob, the difference of Matt Painter over the years, when you played for him, would he ever have been this loose? He's so comfortable in his own skin now, it's crazy.
Yeah, probably not. But you have to think, he was trying to build a program. He was trying to set a foundation. He was trying to build toughness. And you don't do that, I guess, by doing elf videos. This is the same guy that at the NCAA tournament, we did rebound war at. You know, like, we were doing rebounding drills at the NCAA open practices, and you'd watch, like, Baylor's doing dunk contests. Oh, and, like, they're doing, like, all this shooting half-court shots, and most teams don't do much at the media practice.
No, most teams do nothing.
We did a rebounding drill, and we're, like, killing each other, which you got to respect. I mean, hey, he was new. I mean, he was trying to set the tone, and I was impressed that you got him to do that. I was thinking, actually, who at Purdue should have a legitimate statue? I kept coming back. Glenn Robinson should have a statue there.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, the big dog is kind of what you think of when you
think. He's an iconic college player, right? Much like the Fab Five.
Yep.
Yeah, much like that type of an impact.
And you've said, like, it's not like Big Dog has some great, like, relationship with Purdue anymore. He's not around a ton.
No, it's better because Coach Payne is the coach, yeah. I think. Not that he had any beef with Coach Katie. I just think he played with Coach Payne. I just think
he's not around a ton. He's not around a ton.
No, I met him one time, and it was because he came to our game in Atlanta. I just broke my hand, and Glenn Robinson III was on our team. So that's the only time I've ever met Big Dog.
Yeah, well, we had fun doing the whole bit about the statue. If you haven't seen it already, make sure you check out my Twitter account or the Field of 68, because, again, some of the best acting performances ever.
Jeff and Rob were by far the worst actors.
Zach
Chris
Edie
Kramer,
was good,
Sophie Kramer, yeah. Were both good. Edie was good. Coach Payne was good. Just the two knuckleheads here were shitty.
So good, though. So good. Everybody was shocked, by the way. Everybody's like, is Goodman standing on a chair when I'm talking to Zach Edey? And I'm like, I was in the mall yesterday in Bloomington, and a guy looks at me. He's like, you're much bigger than I thought you were.
How tall are you? 6'1"?
No, I'm like 6'3". I'm like, no, 6'3". You're not. Don't give me that 6'1".
You're on this basketball player thing, even though you didn't play, and you're trying to inflate your height by a good inch or inch and a half.
I'm bigger than Doster. And
yeah, but Doster's like 5'10".
No, he's like 6'1", 6'2". Telling you. I'm 6'.
I'm telling you, the real thing to do if you're actually tall is to underlist yourself so that when people see you, I guess you get that type of reaction. Like when you see Garnett and he's 7'1", he's listed 6'11", you're like, whoa.
Is that what you do with your vertical? Is that what you do with your 19 and a half vertical?
I'm going to send you and Doster every dunk that I've ever had. And that's going to prove that
it was not. That should take me about 30 seconds to watch.
No way. In high school, I was hanging on rims. In college, I bet I had at least 15 dunks in my career at Purdue. Maybe more.
Maybe more. Look at it already. Maybe more.
I might have had 20. I bet I had 20 dunks.
Like I said, 20 dunks. It'll take
30 seconds. Have you dunked in an NBA game?
I have never dunked. No, I've not dunked.
Then you can shut the hell up.
I have not dunked. I think I dunked when I was about 16 years old.
Unless there's video, I don't believe that.
There wasn't video back then. It was like black and white TV.
What year did you go to high school?
No, I went. It was probably like 1988. So, yeah, there was video, but we didn't have cell phones.
Dang, I wasn't even born then.
That's what I'm saying. We didn't have cell phones when I got to college, Rob, at Arizona. That was when I remember my roommate was a bookie, so. I would be betting on games. And if I had like a really good week, I would get this, the big cell phones. They came in like a bag.
The
bag phones.
The bricks, yeah.
So I would have that. And then I'd have a bad week gambling and I'd have to shut the thing off. And then you'd pay like a certain amount to be able to kind of reset the service, re-implement the service. So it was like a roller coaster ride all year.
Does this have something to do with you dunking?
No, nothing. Zero. I was just
then how did you get to that?
I was trying to divert the attention away from
I was gonna dunking. Say, what does that have to do with you dunking a basketball?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. But anyway, I have fun at Purdue though. I have fun. Here's what I'll say. I forgot. I haven't been to Purdue since, I don't know, it's probably been about 5 years. You know, again, the pandemic, you forget, kind of changes everything, and you go all the time, but I haven't been in about 5 years. I saw him in Portland, obviously, earlier this year. I've seen him on the road over the last few years. But I will say this. The student section, 4,800, is as good as any student section in the entire country. And I probably would include Texas Tech, to me, has been one over the last few years for me. Now, they're mean. They're mean. Purdue fans aren't mean like that. But, man, are they unbelievable.
Yeah, no, they are. It's an incredible atmosphere. And I told this story the other day. Remember the video game, the EA Sports video game, NCAA March Madness?
Yeah.
It went until, I think, my junior year. That was the last year, 09 or 10. And in the game, you would play at certain different places. And, of course, we'd always play with our own team. And, you know, you'd play with Purdue. And they rated the top 25 atmospheres or venues in college basketball. And Purdue was not in the top 25.
Wow.
And I remember we would talk about it and say, we go to all these places and Michigan State is awesome. And Illinois is
there's a lot of good Big Ten venues.
No. The Big Ten is probably as good as anywhere. Maybe the Big 12 you could say is up there as well. Right. But those two leagues, pretty much everywhere. I was at Northwestern the other night for the Indiana game and I took my headset off to do the interview and I could not believe the atmosphere.
Really?
I mean, it was at just
Northwestern.
Like, yes. It was so loud and the game was really good. But anyways, Purdue wasn't even in the top 25. So like if you were at a top 25 venue during free throws for the opponents, the stadium would like rattle and your controller would shake. And it's amazing how far it's come because I was thinking, and we all thought this is an oversight that we have a venue that should be in that top 25, but nationally it's not known. Now nationally it is known. And I also think
I think it's top five, Rob.
I think it might be in the top three or four. I really do. I
would go.
Fog Allen's the best, I think.
Yes. Kansas is number one. And like Duke, I was at Duke Carolina a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think Duke's better than Purdue. I really don't.
I don't either anymore.
Yeah.
And even this, now what makes Duke different is small. Where the students are placed.
That's true. And that, and I have sort of a little bit of a beef with Purdue's. Yep. There's some cool things you can do with splitting the student section, but when the student section was on the one end and they were directly behind the visitors bench and it went all the way up, and it still does in a way, but it used to be when you'd walk out there to run on the floor, you would look right down the tunnel. And it was so intimidating to see just a total wall of people like that. It was really cool. And I think that there are some cool things with the split, but I liked it better when it was on one end. But Duke does have, much like Michigan State, the students are right around the floor. And that does create a cool atmosphere and an intimidating deal for opposing teams.
Like Indiana, I went the night before at Assembly, and it was a noon tip. You were there. It was a noon tip. So, and it was, you know, it just wasn't as good.
It was a good atmosphere, yeah. But I was there for Duke, Indiana, for the Marco Killingsworth, DJ White teams. Redick had 35. Unbelievable game. I visited, I was a junior in high school, or sophomore high school. No, junior in high school. And I thought the roof was going to come off. I've played in games there where I felt that way. You know, Jordan Holes hit a three with like.
Yeah, what would you say? What would you say the other day that was like 1-10 on an
I would Indiana? Say that was a 6 for Indiana. Yeah.
Okay, so I caught it. Again, I haven't been here in a while for a game.
Yeah.
So it probably depends on the day, but I think we would agree. Kansas is one. I might put – I mean, Texas Tech on its best day, man, is
– No, I've been there when it's good. It is a good environment. But the thing about Purdue is that they sell out Christmas break games.
Right, right.
What other teams are doing that?
Well, they have a deal. My daughter said she went for Purdue Indiana women's game, and she said it was unbelievable. Yeah. She said part of the deal for the women's games is, I guess, in order to be in the certain section for the men's games, you have to.
They had like a prerequisite type thing that you had to do. Interesting.
Yeah, they listen. Bottom line is, West Lafayette is awesome. It's definitely a top five venue for me. And a major home court advantage that honestly I kind of forgot about until I went there. And I'm like, all right, these freshmen, I can see the difference between playing at home or in a neutral court and then going into a tough environment. Now, they've won a lot of good road games early in Big Ten play, but I think that environment, that atmosphere, gets your confidence up too. I mean, that's worth 4 or 5 points, isn't it?
Yeah, especially for the young players. And I think the road-home splits in the Big Ten this year have been wild. Maryland, Indiana, Iowa.
It doesn't surprise you, does it?
No, because every arena is good. Yes. There aren't, like, really bad.
It's great on your end, right? It's great on your end, and then it's so difficult on the other end. So you're talking about two of the biggest discrepancies in the Big Ten.
And I think this year it's been even more amplified in the league because the splits aren't normally like this. I mean, there are some teams that are super different on the road. And I'm fascinated. We're recording this on Tuesday right before 6 o'clock. And I'm fascinated to see if Indiana can put together a decent performance on the road tonight because they have not. They haven't been able to do that. They have really even now give them credit. They've won a couple of those games, Minnesota, Michigan, but think about Maryland. Think about their last. They scored 60 points at Northwestern. They have not been good on the road.
All right, let's get down to some real business here. And Alabama, earlier today, it came out that Darius Miles, one of their players, again, it's been out there for a while, that he's involved in a murder charge right now, in which again. He didn't pull the trigger, but he was a part of a situation in which somebody was killed. And today it came out that Brandon Miller and Jaden Bradley, two of the freshmen, were there that night, were there prior to this happening. And then Miles asked Brandon Miller to come back and bring him. He didn't use the word gun. It was another word, slang word.
That was via text message, correct?
Correct. He texted him, and Brandon Miller brought his car. I think brought his car back or drove. I think he left it in Brandon Miller's car, if I'm correct here. Brought the car back. Supposedly never actually touched the gun. Miles grabbed the gun, and eventually, obviously, was the weapon in the murder. Nate Oates didn't handle it great earlier today. One of his quotes was wrong place at the wrong time. you know, again,
Jeff, wrong place, wrong time is those kids in East Lansing. That is wrong place, wrong time. Or in a movie theater when somebody comes in and does what we see in this country all too often. That is being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That is a horrific quote. Yeah. It's a horrific quote.
No doubt. And I think if he had to do it all over again, I don't think he would have said it. Somebody close to him told me that, you know, basically got out of practice, found out about this. There were court hearings today about the whole situation with Miles and Miller and Bradley. And he wasn't really prepared for this at all. He didn't know exactly what happened in court, and probably, again, said some things, used some words that he shouldn't have used. Again, I would say, to me, I think a lot of people are being too critical on Nate Oates and, you know, some of the things they're saying right now about him. Again, here's what I would say. Darius Miles, obviously done. We know that. And was part of a murder, whether it was self-defense. I don't know. All that'll come out certainly in a trial here. Brandon Miller, I think the bottom line is Alabama, Rob, would not have cleared this kid. And obviously law enforcement cleared him to be able to play. If you're Nate Oates, if you're the coach, whatever coach it is, you're basically going on what people are telling you from above at this point, right? Whether it's a sexual assault case, whether it's a murder, yes, whatever it is.
To get yourself coaches, to where you're not liable. It would be, what do we do?
Yes.
Right.
What do we do? You tell me what I can do, and that's what I'm going to do. And again, he was cleared, Brandon Miller. Obviously, the law enforcement didn't feel like he had any knowledge that Darius Miles, his teammate, was going to be involved. This weapon was going to be involved in a murder. And they played him. And again, I think it's we'll obviously see what else comes out in the trial here going forward. But I don't think Nate Oates did anything here other than if you want to say, hey, listen, he recruited a kid that was part of a murder. Then you can
say what was his quote, Jeff? He said that the kids were out. The college kids go out. Yep. College kids go out on every campus. Yep. Every team has guys go out. And the result does not happen what
no doubt
occurred in Tuscaloosa that night.
No question.
That is not an excuse for how this happened. And then I read a tweet where it said he consulted Ray Lewis. Is that even real?
I think so. I think he called Ray Lewis.
I mean, how does that look? This is a PR
nightmare.
Disaster.
Nightmare. Yes.
I am like shocked at how poorly this is. And the situation is awful. Somebody lost their life. You have three players involved in it, and it's come out this way. I'm at a loss for words. And I think that instead of you look at these college coaches in situations like this, and I think everybody hopes that they rise to the occasion and they do the right thing. And I'm not saying he didn't do the right thing because I don't totally know all the details, but he sure as hell hasn't said the right thing. This has been a nightmare for Alabama.
No, he's handled it poorly in terms of the words he's chosen, but I don't, until it comes out that he's like Greg Heyer.
Right? No. And I agree. I'm not saying that they should fire him. I I don't know all the details. I've read a few things.
There's been nothing out there that he's tried to cover anything up or anything of that ilk, right? I mean, again.
But he did say that he knew that these guys were at the scene and you continue to play them. And then when it comes out.
Because they've been cleared.
I guess that is true because legally they have been cleared.
Right?
It's just
Rob,
it's an awful situation. I agree, but I just can't believe that Alabama has butchered this the way that they have.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, I think certainly what they needed to do today was hold off putting Nate Oates up there.
Yeah. And I thought the Ray Lewis thing was a joke when I read it because think about the
100% true. I don't know.
If it is, that makes this look even worse.
Alabama, listen. Alabama's a team that right now we're putting in a group that has a chance to win the whole thing. And Brandon Miller is a kid that we're putting in a group that has a chance to be a first team All-American. And
not even that, and beyond, Jeff. His life is set up. He has been gifted with incredible talents. And he's also worked very hard. Like, you have to work very hard to get to this level. All he has to do is not screw up like this.
Yeah.
And he will have an incredible life. You know what I mean? Like, you will have the ability to do things that everyone dreams of. It's just, it's sad all around.
Well, it's
a terrible
poor
situation.
decision. Obviously, it's a poor decision by a freshman in college who was probably trying to help out his, or thought he was trying to help out his teammate. And obviously, he wasn't, right? Obviously, if he had to do it all over again, you're not bringing the car there with a gun in. You're not. And that would have saved Darius Miles, who's potentially his future as well, because he could be going to jail.
And let's not forget, someone is dead. They don't like respond. They're dead. They don't get another chance at this.
That's right. No, you're right.
This whole situation is terrible. It's really sad.
Yep, it is. It is. No doubt about it. How much do you think, on a different note, they've been able to still be pretty good after knowing all of this, right? Darius Miles, your teammate, is going to face trial. They probably had a pretty good idea that was going to happen. You know, they knew Brandon Miller and Jaden Bradley were there, and that something might come out. They've still been pretty darn good over the course of the season, even after this happened. I mean, they've had a couple slip ups, but they're 23-4 overall. They're in first place in the SEC at 13-1. Does this kind of alter that trajectory? Does this become a major distraction now?
Yeah, it very well could. I don't know. I think that you hear coaches talk about all the time how the players need to tune out outside distractions and all this. Well, now they have the ultimate distraction. I mean, there's no bigger distraction than this. So we don't know for a fact. It certainly could affect them, but this is pretty shocking to see today. It really was.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's move on to a team that you've seen in person multiple times that very few have, and that's the Houston Cougars. That's a team that also, like Alabama, you put in that first tier, right? Purdue, Houston, Alabama. I think Kansas has now moved itself into that first tier. I think there's four teams to me. And now I worry about Alabama. I really do. But Houston, my pick to win this whole thing now. Preseason, it was UCLA. Now, if you give me one team that I'm going to put all my money on, I think I would put it on Kelvin Sampson and the Houston Cougars. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I really like their team too. I think the American doesn't test you the way that Kansas is going to be tested or Purdue is going to be tested. You know, certainly Memphis gave them a game in the Fertitta Center, and Kendrick Davis didn't even play.
Yep.
And DeAndre Williams is in foul trouble. You know who was actually really good in the second half of the game was Elijah McCabe.
Really?
He lived at the basket. I really like Houston. I think offensively they have some shortcomings at times, even though I really like Marcus Sasser. They have small guards. So if you've got really big guards that can be physical with them and take some things away, it could give them some issues. You could turn them over. Memphis really turned them over in that game. I want to say they had – I'm going to turn up. Let me look. They had only 11. It felt like more. The last two games, actually, that they had played in the regular season, Houston had 39 turnovers in those two Memphis wins last year. Wow. So I think you can turn them over, even though I really like Shedd, and I really like Sasser, and I really like Mark. I like all three of their guards. I wouldn't say they have a dominant big that scores it, even though I like Juwan Roberts. They'll play through him some. Yeah. If you can handle the initial surge of Houston's defense, the initial pressure, you can find opportunities. Like, if you've got somebody that the trap isn't going to make them just turn it over, and you can short roll a big, or you can get it to the weak side, or you can skip it out of the post, you can find open shots. Like, that's what they're going to do. Kelvin Sampson is as firm in his belief of what they do as any coach in the country, and I respect him. And I respect him for it. You know, that's much like what we've seen in the Big Ten from Northwestern this year. They trap the post even when Chucky Hepburn is posting, you know, like that. That's the way Houston is. They're going to trap ball screens. They're going to pressure you. They're going to make you uncomfortable. They're going to punk you on the glass. I really like this team, but I stand by it. There's not a team in the college basketball that I feel good about picking. I really don't. There's nobody. There's not.
You go back and forth. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's kind of whoever's hot, obviously, you like, right? Alabama was hot for a while. Purdue was great. Houston, you know, again, you just don't see Houston enough against quality competition.
Right.
That I get it. Listen, I have the same concerns.
But at the same time, Jeff, they beat Virginia in a road game. That's as good of a win as probably anybody had in the non-conference. Yep. They played Alabama. They lost to them. the Oregon game, you schedule that thinking it's going to be a really, and it just doesn't have that. They might make the tournament. I think they're 45 in KenPom right now. So their schedule is not nearly as challenging, I would say, even though I know that the coaches in the American talk about how it's a really good league. It's been Houston and Memphis and then kind of everybody else.
It's a mid-major plus league. That's what it is. I mean, let's face it. That's, you know, right now that's what you'd call it. Jairus Walker, before we get on the next subject, came in with a lot of hype. You know, top, I don't know if he's a top 15 player. What do you think about him and his future at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, super talented, has a lot of ability, has good size. He's 6'8", 240 as a freshman, can shoot it from three, can drive it and put it on the floor. Defensively, he certainly has some shortcomings. I think he gets in Kelvin Sampson's doghouse with some of the defensive mistakes that he makes.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Kelvin Sampson demands, much like most coaches, but he demands
a lot
perfection, a lot. Especially defensively. Like he wants guys to play the right way, and he wants you to defend at a level that he demands. So I think he's got a chance. He's not exactly explosive.
Right.
I'm trying to think who he reminds me of. He is a skilled four. Yeah. I don't know who I would compare him to at the next level. I'd have to think about that. But I think he's got a chance. Is he a guarantee to leave this year?
No, I don't think anybody's.
I feel like if he came back next year, he could be a lottery pick.
Right. Right. I would agree with that. I would agree. Not again, he's not going to blow you away with his athleticism.
He's kind of got a body like EJ Liddell, but not really a game like it. But that's the way he reminds me. Taller than EJ Liddell, but has that kind of build.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Again, I wanted to be talked out of Houston. And you kind of did a little bit. Like, but you could talk me out of every team. And I could talk you out of every team.
I agree.
Like that's the kind of the beauty and the curse of this year is
it sets us up for an NCAA tournament that's going to be insane.
I think so. I mean, I'd be surprised if it's not. I'd be surprised if we don't, you know, again, if you don't have a And that's where I do think, honestly, this year more than ever, Rob, I'm going to lean into coaching. And literally, if it's close, all right, coaches in the NCAA tournament rather than teams, because I don't think there's that big a difference between so many of these teams that I'll take the coaches that have been there, done that before, because I think they're going to have a major advantage. Point guard play a little bit too. You know, the teams without a point guard, you know, they're not, you know, I find it hard. To go deep. All right, you saw Houston beat Memphis, like you said, without their star Kendrick Davis, who's been pretty darn good. His usage rate is higher than almost everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Right. It's crazy. Him and DeAndre Williams, and they're two of the top six scorers in the league.
Right. Now, I made a controversial statement the other night about Penny Hardaway, and my question was, is Penny Hardaway the right guy for the job moving forward with the Tigers program? And I'm going to defend myself before I ask you to push back or agree with me. All I'm going to say is, listen, it's year five. They've been in the tournament once. They barely made the tournament last year. I know people say, well, they had a 9 seed. They ended up playing Gonzaga. But they needed those two wins against Houston to get in. Against a Houston team that was, again, without Sasser, without Mark. They got it. And let me say, too, I love Penny Hardaway. Love him. I root for Memphis. But my take is, Rob, they've been fairly irrelevant for 5 years now, nationally. Fairly irrelevant, barely got in the tournament last year, barely getting in if they get in again this year. Don't you have higher expectations if you're a Memphis fan than just getting into the tournament?
I mean, I think that he's still in a good place. Won the NIT. He's made the tournament.
Why do we talk about winning the NIT like it's something that means something?
I think you can make the argument, though, that if you won the NIT, that you could say that, okay, well, maybe we should have been an NCAA tournament team, right?
You're the 69th best team. Hooray. Good job. Come on. What are we doing here?
What is their success outside of John Calipari? They were good with Penny. They were good with Penny.
Finch. Yeah, yeah. With Penny,
and it looks like they were good in the early 80s. Is that right? They were 31-4 in 1984. But they've got a lot of seasons where they're hovering around 500 or just getting to 18, 19. I don't think their history is amazing. I think that he is going to be a guy that can get recruits. Certainly, sometimes they can be frustrating to watch offensively. I don't think that they have the most explosive offense in the world. But he is a selling point. He's kind of he's an iconic player of the 90s.
Of course. He really is. And I'm
I'm not saying that. Let me finish. I'm saying that that's going to hold sway with players that want to get to the NBA.
Okay.
I think that's
okay,
why he got Kendrick Davis. I think that's, you know, certainly why he got a guy like James Wiseman. I just, you know, are you in the dark?
Or I know. It's just starting to get dark outside.
I still just think he is the guy to lead them forward. I really do. I'm not ready to give up. I just think that outside of the John Calipari era, they haven't been great. And how did that go with, you know, Tubby Smith's a good coach. How did it go with him?
He was a horrible hire there. He was a horrible hire. Pastner. Okay, Josh Pastner.
How did it go with Josh Pastner?
Who wasn't, listen, I'm not defending Josh Pastner at Memphis at all. You know, he went to four tournaments in 7 years at Memphis. Now, three of them were in Conference USA. When that leaks, but it's not like the American's so much better.
I also think that with Penny, he gets a longer leash because he is a Memphis Tiger.
Okay.
You could say that's wrong, but fair. I think he is one of the icons, much like Patrick Ewing would get a longer leash at Georgetown, and much like anybody else, Matt Painter, Juwan, former player, it makes it a different deal. I think he still deserves time to go forward and prove that with the portal. And with the way he's recruited,
we fire him today. I'm not saying that. I was never saying that. Basically, what I was saying is like, all right, like he's done an okay job there. Like if you're grading Penny Hardaway so far,
right? But I don't think he's gotten an F either. No.
But again,
C plus or B minus.
The expectations, if you're a Memphis Tiger fan, are not just to sneak in the NCAA tournament.
What are the expectations? What is a fair expectation? Is it the John Calipari, Derrick Rose team?
Here's what it is. Here's
is
what
it the Tyreke Evans teams? Like, where should we say they are?
Here's what I would say. If you were Penny and in your first 5 years, you went to the tournament three times and you made it past the first weekend once, I would say that's solid. That's good. Like, to me, that's good. So he's one tournament shy, and some people could say, well, in the COVID year, maybe he would have went.
They were on the border. Right.
Yeah, and they're right there this year. They may not get in. I mean, they're like.
I think as long as they win out and outside of the Houston game and make the final, they would get in.
But they're capable.
It'd be like 25 wins. They are.
Yeah, like the wins to me are a little bit deceiving because you and I both know this league is not very good this year. This league is not very good. I mean, they got two quadrant one wins all year, Rob. In the non-conference, they've lost at St. Louis. St. Louis isn't very good. Seton Hall, they're okay. They lost to them on a neutral court. Alabama, no shame. Then in conference, they've lost at Tulane, at UCF, at home against Tulane, and now Houston. So I think you're right. You got to win at Wichita, Cincy at home, at SMU. Then you can lose the last game in Houston. And you're probably in the NCAA tournament. If you lose two of those four, you might have to go to the finals of the American tournament.
And what is the expectation going forward, would you say? Because Houston leaves, Cincinnati leaves, UCF leaves. They've got to be the alpha dog of the league, right? I mean,
better run that shit, to be honest. They better run that league. And I just feel like they should be the clear-cut number two right now, and they haven't been. That's what I would say.
When you mentioned Memphis's wins, did you say Auburn? I wasn't listening to what you were saying. They beat Auburn. They beat Texas A&M.
Yes.
They beat Mississippi. Yep. They beat Stanford. So they've beaten high major teams, but those teams, other than Auburn, have not been great.
And Auburn's
A&M's a tournament team, though, aren't they?
A&M's better than Auburn. Yeah, A&M's their best win. That's their best win. Auburn in Atlanta, a decent win also. I'm not saying Penny's done a bad job. I'm saying I expected more. And if I'm Memphis.
Well, the recruiting in the Wiseman team had so much hype and then it got dismantled so fast.
Right.
You know, it's never had a chance to really happen. So yeah. I don't think that's fair.
No doubt. What else you want to talk about? Anything else we got to cover today?
We've covered a wide variety of topics in this podcast.
We have covered a wide variety.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody or anything else.
All right, here's one.
What about, I got one. What about Mick Cronin saying this stuff about UCLA and the reveal?
What? who gives a shit about the reveal? Like, you're going to get bent out of shape over something that's fictional?
I know.
Like, what are you doing, Mick?
But is it even unfair to say that they were, I mean, they don't have, their wins aren't incredible outside of the Pac-12. Lost to Illinois, lost to Baylor.
Right.
They beat Maryland on the road. That's a good win. They beat Kentucky neutral. Yep. Solid.
Okay. Not great.
Right. But then the Pac-12 is bad.
It's a mid-major plus conference.
Where did he think he should be put?
I don't know. Mick just likes to get bent out of shape sometimes. You know, same thing. Here's another one like that. Jeff Capel got upset. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Over the ACC network being objective.
He hyped BTN though. He showed love to Big Ten Network.
Because you kiss everybody's ass in the Big Ten.
That is not true.
He was talking about you. True. He was talking all about you. Jeff Capel wants you on the ACC network.
They need to bring me in to rehab the image of the league, huh?
Would you kiss right now, if you were on the ACC network, how would you handle it? Because the league stinks.
I agreed. I mean, especially when Carolina is down and Duke is just okay.
Yep.
And you've got all these, I mean, the ACC to me is in such a weird place.
Yeah.
Because you have so many, and Pittsburgh has bucked this narrative this year, but you have teams at the bottom that when I was growing up as a kid, they were good to great. Louisville, Georgia Tech.
Yep.
I would throw Boston College in there, was good. You know, you think about the Troy Bell teams and those guys, they were good. Wake, Chris Paul, that type of deal. Syracuse and Pitt. And Pitt's been better this year, so that you can take them out. But it just feels like they were good in different eras and different leagues. And in the ACC, they don't necessarily fit. Now, Virginia is still very good.
Yep.
Miami, Florida has had a nice year. But everybody else is just kind of like, and the bottom is, whoa. I mean, Notre Dame, you could throw into that. And not that it's been like that for a long time with them, but in this year, Notre Dame is not what we have seen them as.
I'll say this. I love the Big Ten Network. I do. I think you guys do a great job there. I think you are pretty darn objective, from you to DeCourcy to everybody else there. I think you guys really do a good job. ACC Network's newer. They're starting out. Maybe they are more homers. Or not, he's saying they're not homer enough.
Yeah, he wants to be more homer. But it's easy to be objective at the Big Ten Network when you look at the league and teams 2 through 12 or even 13 good. Now in Nebraska good. Are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at their league. How are you going to sell Louisville at 4-24?
Well, the only thing I would say
is name at 2-14. Like, you
can't.
You have what you have. I mean, it's just the Big Ten and the Big 12. I think the Big 12 is the best league. Bar none this year. And I think the Big Ten is right there behind it at second, but it's pretty easy to sell the second best league when you have the parity of the good teams that the Big Ten has this year.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go so you can try to keep raising some money for that statue. Because listen, nobody.
If they raised money for a statue, I would tell them to donate it to a good cause. Do not build a statue of me.
Everybody agreed on the same thing. If they do have a statue of you, it's got to have the knee brace. Has to have the knee brace.
I want to be remembered as the bouncy version of myself prior to multiple ACL tears.
It will never happen. Well, it will never, ever happen. All right.
I'm about to pull up the high school highlight tape to jog some memories out here.
To me too. For those listening, you don't even know how many dunks that Hummel sent to me.
Yeah. You know what? One of my buddies uploaded – he sent me our high school tape. So now when you start talking shit, I'm just going to film these things and start sending them out.
You know what our intro is going to be, right? From now on for our pod, Matt Painter. And I ask him if he's reaching
no out. Doubt.
No
doubt.
Absolutely not. No chance. He was a great player, but we can't raise a dime for this statue. So Painter, hell of a job. Kramer, Zach Eady, the woman at the counter at the bookstore. You did a hell of a job too. And that was fun doing. I got to say, it was really fun doing.
Keep your day job, dude. You suck at acting. You and Rob suck at acting.
With me. All right. Make sure you subscribe. Hummel and Goodman Podcast. See you next week.